Okay, so maybe this has happened to you. An Olympic swimmer gets out of a pool, or maybe an archer pulls back a bow. You catch a glimpse of five interlocking rings on a back or an inner arm or a thigh, and you think, nice tat. No? Well, it's happened to me. Olympic rings tattoos aren't for everyone. In fact, if you ask most Olympians, they're only for people who have actually competed in the actual Olympics. That's what makes them so special. But as we get ready to say goodbye to Rio 2016, people are starting to think about the very complicated future of Olympic tattoos 4 years from now in Tokyo 2020. But let's start with the present.
My name's Long Gutierrez. I'm a swimmer here at Cal Berkeley. And so I just basically went to the Olympics for the 100 butterfly.
Long Gutierrez was born in Mexico, but his parents moved him to the U.S. when he was two so that he could pursue a career in swimming. He's been dreaming about the Olympics for a long time. He remembers the moment. He was watching the Olympics on TV. Maybe it was Beijing in 2008, and he saw a swimmer. Maybe it was Ryan Lochte with an Olympic ring tattoo on his arm. Even though Long can't quite remember the details, that moment left an impression.
I just thought it was the coolest thing ever, and I remember going to my mom and my dad just, like, saying, when I make it, that's what I'm going to get.
To everyone's surprise, Long's parents agreed. His mom told him it was the only tattoo she'd ever be okay with.
It was super funny because before then, like, they would never even, like, thought of me getting a tattoo or just, like, even letting me. And so, I don't know, it's like ever since then, I've always like been kind of striving towards that.
Long qualified to swim for Mexico at the Rio Olympics way back in August of 2015. So he had a long time to imagine his Olympic experience. And he didn't picture the opening ceremonies or standing on the blocks for his first race.
It was kind of weird, but I was more excited about coming back and getting the tattoo than like the experience.
Long's dad died a few years ago. He'll never get to see his son get that tattoo. And his mom couldn't go to Rio to see him compete because of some last-minute health worries. But now that Long is back in the States, she knows what's coming next. Now that it's really here, has your mom changed her mind at all?
So before I left for Rio, I was talking to her and I was just like, Mom, I hope you know no matter what you say, I'm still gonna get this tattoo. And she was just like, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so how did we get here to this place where Olympians are looking forward more to the tattoos than the games? And otherwise tattoo-hating mothers are saying, yeah, that's fine when their sons and daughters decide to get inked.
The first time I ever saw a tattoo that made me think of the rings were on a swimmer who's now deceased, Victor Davis of Canada, and he had the maple leaf on his chest.
That's Chris Jacobs. He won two golds and a silver at the 1988 Seoul Games, but he's best remembered as the first known U.S. swimmer to get an Olympic rings tattoo. And it all started with that maple leaf tattoo on the chest of Canadian Victor Davis.
Although I did think that something sort of that size ended up looking like a third nipple. So it was always an odd place for a tattoo, in my opinion.
So I was picturing a really big maple leaf, but apparently if it was nipple-sized, it wasn't.
Just about that size.
That nipple-sized maple leaf understandably made an impression. But Chris wasn't a stranger to ink. He already had a Texas Longhorn tattoo on his hip, and that one had a story, too.
I was with a couple teammates, and they had all backed out at the last second after I had mine done.
So Chris found himself alone in the chair, looking up at the guy who'd just finished his tattoo.
And then I said, do I need to keep this thing dry? He's like, yes, you can't get it wet for at least 10 days.
This was a problem. Chris had another pool session scheduled for later that day.
And so I panicked and had to come up with some sort of illness that my coach would find believable. I think he just looked at me and groaned and, you know, let me know that he wasn't particularly happy and that I really needed to have a speedy recovery and get right back in and start training again. And I think after about 3 days, I just put lots of ointment on it and Band-Aids and swam with it after that.
That tattoo was completely hidden. Before he had it done, Chris put on his swimsuit and marked the skin it covered, just to be sure. And after having a great time at the 1988 Olympics and seeing that nipple-sized maple leaf tattoo, Chris had another idea.
I decided it would be fun to commemorate it by putting the little ring somewhere on my body.
So he did. At first, he added a small set of rings to the Longhorn tattoo hidden under his swimsuit. But since he was out of excuses to miss practice, that one faded pretty quickly. So it's the much larger Olympic rings tattoo under his right upper arm that he added years later that Chris is well known for, famous for, really. But while people like me call him up every 4 years to talk about it, when Chris was working on Wall Street, he took care to wear sleeves long enough to cover it.
On hot summer days, although our trading desk was always super air-conditioned, when I sort of start feeling tired, I would always lean back in my chair and stick my arms up and catch myself. And most of the people I worked with knew that I had been in the Olympics, but most of them didn't know anything about the tattoo.
Long Gutierrez isn't worried about keeping his rings covered. He says these days, having an Olympic tattoo makes you part of a club that people want to be in. But he might be in for a surprise when he gets to Japan for the 2020 Games.
So if you're getting a tattoo in Japan, it's not like in the West where it's like, oh, I'm going to go get a tattoo. It's a lifestyle change.
That's Brian Ashcraft. He's an American living in Japan, and he's written a book about the history of tattoos there. He says in Japan, most people keep their tattoos hidden for fear of discrimination.
Doing something like getting a bank loan or at a job application become almost impossible in many cases. So tattoos traditionally in Japan are designed to be covered, whereas tattoos in the West are often, you kind of show them off.
Tattooing in Japan might date back all the way to the 3rd century. At times, tattoos were used to brand criminals or courtesans, but tattoos were also used as talismans by fishermen and laborers to protect them from danger. Then, in the late 19th century, Japan started interacting more with the Western world.
And as more and more foreigners came into Japan, I think that the country's elite, the leaders, felt like, well, we don't want to portray ourselves as primitive or backward because we're not. Well, we need to, like, put our best foot forward.
And some people thought an inkless foot or arm or stomach was the way to go.
From the late 19th century until after World War II, tattooing was outlawed. I mean, it was banned. And the police would go after tattooers and they'd take away their pattern books.
And you know that old saying, outlaw tattooing and only outlaws get tattoos.
And so during this period of time, the people who were employing tattooers were gangsters. So they kept this kind of, folk art or artistic tradition alive.
Tattoos became legal again in 1948. But by then, they were mostly associated with one group, the Yakuza. Japanese organized crime. If you watch movies, you've probably heard of them.
This is a Yakuza outfit I'm dealing with. What the hell can the police do?
But what will happen in 4 years when more than 10,000 athletes, many of them inked, arrive in Tokyo for the Games?
For the upcoming Olympics, I think that this will just be another opportunity for people in Japan to kind of slowly separate the stereotype that they have for tattoos, that tattoos are bad or tattoos are connected to crime.
Brian says he hopes Olympic athletes will understand that any bad behavior will reflect not only on them, their countries, and the Olympics, but also on every other tattooed person in Japan.
So often, like, the news here, if somebody gets arrested, they'll be like, oh, this guy's tattoos, or they'll find a picture of him somewhere and like showing off his tattoos or something like that. And they're like, see, tattoos are bad, Japan.
Which means if you happen to tell the media a story about being robbed at gunpoint by police, and that story turns out to be less than truthful, it's not your blue-green hair that's going to be splashed across the front pages of newspapers. It'll be your Olympic tattoo. Yes, Ryan Lochte, I'm talking to you.